Yes, yes, yes. And we welcome you.
We welcome you
to the Church of Truth and Spirit.
Church of Truth and Spirit.
I am Minister Stevie T. Thompson.
That's him. That's
presiding.
Yes, yes, yes.
And before we get into today's sermon, which is entitled Love Thy Neighbor, we want to say a prayer. I want to intercess for those that are not here, those that want to be part of the fellowship that we have. And as the word tells us in 1 John 1-7, that our fellowship is with the Father. So therefore,
that's right.
I will say this prayer.
Amen.
For
Amen.
All of you.
Go ahead, go ahead.
And all of them.
Glory, glory, glory.
Our Father in heaven, we come before you in your Son Jesus Christ's name to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for preparing this day for us, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, we thank you for covering us as we slept last night, Lord God.
Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you for all the blessings that you have gave us.
Yes.
And all the blessings that you're about to give us, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord God, first we want to ask for forgiveness, Lord God, for the sins that we know that we have done.
Yes,
Lord God, I ask for forgiveness for the sins that we do not know what we have done, Lord God.
Forgive us, Lord.
Lord God, I ask that you show us the sins that we have done, Lord God.
Show
your
us.
Word says, ask, it shall be given.
Yes.
Knock, that door shall be opened.
Yes, it does.
So, Lord God, we ask right now, Lord,
we ask,
God,
Lord.
In righteousness.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Lord God, I ask that you forgive someone of their sins right now, Lord God, for they know not what they do is wrong, Lord God. Please forgive them, Lord God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And Lord God, after you have forgave them, Lord God, I ask that you bless their day, Lord God. Bless the ground that they walk on. Bless the ground that we walk on,
yes,
Lord.
Yes,
God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lord God, I ask that the listeners of this sermon become doers, not just listeners.
Oh, yes.
Become doers of your word, Lord.
Yes,
God.
Lord. Yes,
I know,
yes,
Lord,
yes,
God,
yes,
in
yes.
the church walls, someone is listening to a sermon, but when they go outside those walls, Lord God, it is lost.
Mm.
It reminds us of that withered tree.
Fig tree.
Fig tree.
Yes, yes.
So,
yes,
Lord God, mm-hmm. we ask that this, it builds someone up, Lord God. Lord God, they take this word and they understand it, Lord God. Lord God, I ask that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of this word that I am preaching today, Lord,
yes,
God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And Lord God, I preach this in love, Lord God.
Yes.
You said, love thy neighbor.
Love
Lord
thy
God.
Neighbor. Yes.
And I'm loving my neighbor by giving them this sermon, Lord God.
Yes.
Which came from you. And
thank
Lord
you.
God, I ask all this in your Son,
your Son,
Jesus Christ's name.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
And again, today's sermon is entitled, Love Thy Neighbor.
Love Thy Neighbor.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew. And we are in chapter 22 of Matthew.
22.
We're going to start at...
Come on, preacher. Come on.
22 and 36. And we're going to read to 40 of that verse.
Okay.
But while you turn to your chapter of Matthew, I want to tell you why we are talking about love thy neighbor. One is because God gave it to me while I was in my bed. I didn't have to go and study the day before and get in the word and say, oh, well, what do I want to talk about? What do I want to feed the people? It wasn't about what I wanted to feed them. It was about what God wanted them to know. And once
yes, yes.
he showed me this, while I was laying in the bed, he gave me all the scriptures.
Glory.
Gave me the sermon, and I sat there and I preached the entire sermon in bed before I even wrote it down. So it just goes to show that God is an amazing God.
Amazing God.
But the reason I'm talking about loving
yes.
thy neighbor also is because saints do not know how to love thy neighbor.
Some of them.
They think the way of the Pharisees is the way to love thy neighbor. Now, how did the Pharisees try to show love? Well, they messed up, one, because they went about showing off the fancy garments and mm-hmm. having these stones put in the churches and, you know, but that was all fleshly. They wanted to see yes. and show people how big they were.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
when you love thy neighbor today, like Christ said to love thy neighbor, because the commandments did change. The commandments changed when the law was abolished. As Christ walked, things were changing as well.
That's
and
right,
when you listen to this sermon, you will know the truth, because I'm coming straight from Scripture. Best believe that. So everything became spiritual. And Christ
yes,
showed
it. Did. Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
But we're going to start off by starting on Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Teacher, and we're reading out of the NKJV.
Read it.
Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first and great commandment.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And the second is like it.
Oh.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, I hear individuals, they argue, before I go on about loving thy neighbor, I hear individuals arguing time and time again. Well, if the law got rid of, that means the commandments got rid of. Well, excuse me, Mr. or Mrs. Pastor or Bishop or Elder or whoever you may be, this scripture is what tells you what happened to the commandments. Remember, the commandments and the law were written on paper.
That's right.
It was behind the veil.
Yes, yes.
In the temple that was destroyed. Now, if the temple was destroyed, what do you think happened to the law? No more. Abolished. If you read Hebrews chapter 8, you'll see God said, I will not make a commandment like I made with your forefathers. Now, what was that? It dealt with tithing. It dealt with killing of animals. It dealt with the sacrificing of your firstborn son. But when you look at that, what Jesus said, it became spiritual. When you read in Hebrews chapter 7, 8, and 9, Paul talked about the commandments, the law was a fleshly commandment. Well, they were, until Jesus came about and showed out. Because Jesus took it and he hung the commandments and put them on the first two.
That's
now, who
right.
were the prophets
that's right.
he
was right.
talking about?
That's right.
Those in the Old Testament. He said, hang them all on the first two. Loving God is spiritual.
That's
you
right.
can't love God in the flesh. If so, some of you women would feel God touching you all over. But the way we feel God touching us all over, and women, we feel his spirit touch us. We feel him speaking through us. For the prophets, you know this. Because when God tells you to go speak a word, he means it. And you can feel that he means what he says.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
But everything God does to us and for us is spiritual. And we need to take that and look at it in a spiritual sense. And stop looking at things in a fleshly sense.
That's right.
Paul came about and told us, get out of the flesh and get into the spiritual way. If you read about fellowship. Fellowship used to be fleshly. They used to go meet in the mountains. But after Christ came and he died, they didn't do that anymore. If you read 1 John 1 through 7, you will see what fellowshipping is. It is not me going in a church building, sitting next to John and Joe and Jackie and Jill. No, that is not the way.
Glory,
Christ
glory.
Changed it all. Of course, Christ said, I didn't come to abolish or get rid of the law. I come to fulfill it. Yes, he did fulfill it. But you know who got rid of it? God himself. Read Hebrews chapter 8, the whole entire chapter. And I'm not going to be like any of these other pastors, and I'm loving them. I'm not going to be like them. But I'm going to tell you to read the whole chapter and not just one single verse. Okay? This way you have a full understanding. Okay? But going on, this lets you know that everything became spiritual. And to throw one last thing at you before I move on, when Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he told her, you will not worship in the mountain and you will not worship in Jerusalem.
That's right, that's right.
You will worship in truth and
in spirit. That's right, that's right.
He said, because God is spirit.
He is
God
spirit.
Loves these type of worshipers.
Oh, amen.
Spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Everything Jesus talked about was spiritual.
Yes, yes.
When the temple was destroyed, we became the church. He came back as the church. But how do we get the church in us? We allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us by our body being clean. And when you read 1 John 1 through 7, it tells you how the fellowship, and this is how Christ comes to you, in you.
That's right, that's right.
So after you hear this sermon, go and read those scriptures. But we're still in Matthew. Love thy neighbor like you love yourself. Now, we know that Jesus told us about the guy who was beaten and left. And he explained to the lawyer, you go do the same. After he explained him how who was the neighbor.
Yes.
The neighbor is the one in need.
That's right.
A lot of people might not agree, but our brethren, when you read Hebrews chapter 8, God showed the difference between brethren and neighbor. He said, do not teach thy neighbor, do not teach thy brethren. So brethren and neighbor are two different people. The neighbor is the one who is in need. The brethren is the one who already know. Now, a lot of individuals, a lot of church saints, the Baptist, the Apostolic, the Pentecostal, the Seventh-day Adventist, the non-denomination, all these different religions. I didn't name them all because I don't got all day to name them all. But they they're brethren because they know Christ. They love Christ. They think they know Christ. But when you look at them, you'll find out they all are just neighbors.
That's right. That's right.
If you take the Baptist, you take the Pentecostal, you take the Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in the same thing. Now, if you are brethren, you believe in the same thing.
That's correct.
Now,
preach it.
Note that the priests and the Pharisees who crucified Jesus, they believed in God. Well, Jesus believed in God.
Yes, he did.
Okay?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Do that mean they were brethren with Jesus? No, they wasn't. Because if they were, then they wouldn't have been crucifying him.
That's right. Amen. Open
your eyes,
glory, glory, glory.
And realize that that church that you visited and that other church you went to, those different religious churches, they are not brethren. Uh-huh. And if they are not brethren, they are not in Christ.
Amen.
Sorry. Read your scriptures. You take the Jehovah's Witnesses, they commune once a year.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I can look at, say, the Baptists. And I'm not exactly right because I have never gotten into their religion. But I know from speaking with one that they commune more than once in a year. Well, the scriptures tell us, and Jesus himself said, do this often.
Yes, he did.
Well, if you look at Webster's Dictionary, and you read the word often.
Okay, what does it
say? Often means frequently. Why is the Jehovah's Witnesses doing it one time a year? Okay, they're doing it one time a year, but the Baptists or the Apostolic or the Pentecostal, they're doing it 50 times a year or 365 days a year.
Preach it, prophet. Go ahead, prophet.
Then those two religions are not brethren. You can scream Jesus Christ all you want, but you're not brethren. And if you're not brethren, think about when you both line up. The Jehovah's Witnesses on one side, the Baptists on one side, and I'm just picking on the Baptists for a second. I still love you, Baptists. But you line up
I love you too.
Going up to God to get judged.
Oh, man.
Who do you think God is going to turn around?
Uh-oh.
In that situation.
Uh-oh.
They didn't do it often.
Uh-oh.
But not saying the Baptists are doing everything right. But they have their own beliefs. They have them all their own laws. And Paul taught us in Romans and Galatians, if they live by the law, they are a law to themselves.
That's right. That's
and folks,
right.
I'm teaching you about loving thy neighbor. So what we need to be doing in these different religious groups or churches, we need to be doing exactly like the disciples and Jesus Christ done.
Jesus said,
take up your cross
up
and
cross.
Follow me. He said, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me, they are not worthy of me.
That's right. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Preach it.
Then that means somebody's going to get turned around in heaven. So what you need to do, if you love thy neighbor, go knock on the door.
Who is it?
And go inside the church.
My bad.
Baptist, that's what you need to do. Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, all of you need to be doing the same thing. Go out to the other religious churches and speak to them. Sit down at the round table and say, okay, well, we believe in communion one day out the year. Okay, why do y'all do it this way? Come to the table and figure it out so y'all can get on one accord.
Okay.
That's showing love. You're understanding
why they
are wrong. You're understanding why they are right. So you need to come together,
teach them.
The word commissions us to go out to the synagogues and
out to the homes and
correct them.
Yes, in 1 Timothy.
But we're not doing it. We're sitting behind the walls.
That's right.
And I'm saying we because I'm trying to not let y'all feel guilty. You know, I don't sit behind the walls. I'm out and about like my father said do.
Okay.
But
all right, preach it now.
You need to love thy neighbor by showing them the correct way. We're commissioned to correct.
Yes.
So if you really love thy neighbor, that's what you will do.
Yes.
Now we're going to move on because
move on, Pastor.
I want to show you in Matthew 25, 34 through 40.
All right.
He said, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did you see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you?
When?
Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will surely, he will answer and say to you, surely, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
Okay.
Excuse me for getting a little tongue-tied because I get hyped up a little bit when I get in the word when
get
Jesus
hyped.
Spoke.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of these things I'm speaking of. It's coming from what Jesus said. Now, remember in Malachi when these pastors always preach, oh, if you don't tithe, you rob God through tithes and offering. Well, of course, God said, you rob me through tithes and offering. That was then.
Yes.
And even in Matthew 23:23, if you go back to Matthew 23:23, you'll see what Jesus said to the Pharisees.
Uh-huh.
You know, you tithe with mint, anise, and cumin. Note this, that tithes were never money. Uh-huh. Never.
All right.
What
preach
does
it.
God's word say?
Preach it.
He says,
okay,
time will pass, but my word will never. So who
okay.
is it who had the right to go and change God's word and say tithes now is money? If you read Nehemiah chapter 10, it tells you this is when the covenant was sealed. The first covenant was
okay.
sealed.
Okay.
This covenant was sealed, and it was talking about tithing, giving up your firstborn son. Okay, it talked about food. It said the farming communities. Okay, you can't change God's word, folks. I'm loving my neighbor. I'm telling you what
that's
times
right.
were.
That's right. Love him.
The
love
old
him.
Covenant. Nehemiah chapter 10, read the whole thing. Hebrews chapter 8, please read the whole thing, and you will understand the thing about tithing.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
But
Thank you.
When they didn't give to the poor or their brethren, they were robbing God. Because that way was the way of how they became closer with God. People don't understand this. Because when you give to a person, you say, this is from God. Well, of course, they want to know who this God is that keep giving them food. So this is how they got closer with God.
Yes,
but they wasn't
yes.
doing it the way they're supposed to do it.
That's
so
right.
God got rid of the covenant. They were not loving their neighbor like they should. So the new way is, this is why we are called priests. This is why we are called the church.
Yes, yes.
We are to give directly to our neighbor.
That's right. That's right.
Look at what Jesus said.
Preach it.
You do for them, you also do for me. And he wasn't talking to the priests and the Pharisees, the one who God was fussing with and who Jesus was fussing with in Matthew 23 before. Okay?
Okay, okay.
We give to the ones in need. And note that it's not always about food. We can pray for those.
Yes,
and that's
yes.
why I'm finna go over. We're going to go over to Luke 23 and 34.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right.
It says.
What it says, Pastor.
Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He just asked for forgiveness.
Yes.
For his neighbors. No, they wasn't brethren. Because they was crucifying him.
Yes, okay.
And like I said again, if they were brethren, he wouldn't have been on that cross. So they were his neighbor. That's why he forgave them. He asked God to forgive them. This is the way we love our neighbor.
Yes.
Spiritually.
All right.
Okay?
That's right, Pastor. Come on now. Come on now. Yes,
and if
yes.
you truly love your neighbor, it doesn't always have to be physical food.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the ways God wants us to do it. But
yes.
the real way is to pray for them. At the beginning of this sermon, I prayed and asked God to forgive them. That was me loving my neighbor.
Yes, yes.
Spiritually. Because if I go and give my neighbor
$10. All right, give it here. Give it here. Yes, thank you.
He might thank me.
Thank you.
But I tell him, thank the Father. But a
thank
true...
you.
Christian
yes.
is going to get on his knees
yes,
with that
yes,
person
yes,
and they're
going
to
yes.
pray together. Woo. Touch and agree and
yes.
pray that God blesses his finances, his or her finances.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you
uh-huh.
the financial blessing that God gives them when you leave
yes.
is going to be bigger than the one that you gave of $10. Because why? It's going to come in a time when they definitely need it.
Yes, God. Right.
And
on
when
time.
They get it, they're going to know it's from God.
On time,
because
God.
That prayer that was said to them that day with you, the Christian,
yes,
he or she is going to remember that.
Glory, glory.
But we're going to move on.
Glory.
And we're going to go Woo. To John 14 and 12.
All right.
And it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my Father's name, that I will do. In my name, excuse me. That the
excuse.
Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In the beginning of my sermon, I prayed and asked God to forgive the ones that didn't know. Forgive my neighbor. I was obeying his second commandment of loving thy neighbor.
Loving thy neighbor, yes.
It wasn't all about me. It was about my neighbor. Because there's someone out there right now that needs that prayer, that needs to be forgiven. If you look at the scripture we just read back where Jesus asked God to forgive them, Jesus just said in this scripture here in John 14:12,
yes,
we would do works greater than he.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
So therefore, we ought to do works greater than he. That lets you know that we still can do the works that he done. Walking on water. Some of you get scared and you fall like the disciple did.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Woo!
Some of you need to be like Tyler Perry
and wish
that cruise would come by and just, like the Noah's Ark would come by and just pick you up and save you out that water.
Yeah.
But
thank you.
You got to have faith.
Have faith.
That these things are being done.
Yeah.
Love thy neighbor. Faith without works is dead.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Believe that it's done.
Yes, yes.
And when you pray with your neighbor, let them know to believe it as well.
Yes, that's right. That's what Jesus did. Right.
We're going to go to the next scripture, which is Acts 21:27-28. Now, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law, and this place." Okay, I'm going to pause right there because this was Paul being beaten.
Oh,
you see that he was being beaten because he was preaching against the law.
All right.
Read Nehemiah chapter 10, you'll see what the law was.
Okay, okay.
This place, he was in a temple, church. Why was he preaching against that place? Because they was living out the law.
That's right, that's right.
He went to them, just like I was telling you earlier, go to the Jehovah's Witnesses, go to the Baptists and knock on their door and go in there and preach to them. This is what Paul did.
Right,
Jesus said clearly, take up your cross and follow me. What did his disciples do? They followed him. They did the same things he did. This is why they were beaten. This is why they were crucified, because they followed Christ. If you're not being beaten and you're not being crucified, you're not doing the work of Christ and you're not picking up your cross. Sitting in that building, you need to get up, love thy neighbor, teach them. Correct them.
Yes.
This is what Paul did.
Yes.
Love thy neighbor.
Love them.
Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 4.
All right. Intercessors. I got you.
Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and give of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all who are in authority,
yes, yes, yes,
that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence.
That's right, that's right.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior.
Our Savior, yes.
Now, intercessors.
Intercessors.
Like we spoke of earlier, and I'm closing out.
Me too, man.
Intercess.
Go home.
Love thy neighbor. Pray for them. Stop praying for yourself. If you do that first and second commandment,
yes, yes,
God's going to take care of you.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Jesus pointed out that first and second commandment.
Yes, he did.
He said that second one is like the first, and the first is spiritual.
Yes,
the second is spiritual. When you intercess, you're doing spiritual prayer.
Yes, yes.
That's not nothing physical that you're doing. God handles everything. He makes everything become spiritual because he's speaking and it's done.
That's right.
You don't have to pull out your physical money. You don't have to pull out physical clothes, because if you have faith, it will be done.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Even if I was to take off my clothes right now and give it to a homeless man, well, all I got to do is say, God, I gave him clothes. Give me clothes. And I believe that he will. I could walk down the street and there's somebody giving me a brand new Sean John outfit. Woo, which wait. I ain't gonna wear because I just, you know, that's not me. I don't get into all that
I understand.
Type of stuff. But
all right.
Amen. Glory to God. I speak to the intercessors and we all are commanded.
Yes, we are.
To intercess.
Yes.
Look at the way God, Jesus loved his neighbor.
Yes.
Look at what Paul just said. Look at the scriptures that we have just read.
Yes.
You know, and if you're lost, I'll go over all the scriptures with you so you can jot them down and go back and read again after the sermon's over. But I'm really speaking to the intercessors. I'm speaking to everyone, even the neighbors.
Yes.
Become an intercessor. Pray for your enemies.
Yes.
Love your enemies, like the word tells us. Love thy neighbor. Love your brethren.
Yes.
There's three different. Your enemy is kind of your neighbor, too, because they're the one in need.
Yes,
they are. They don't know who God is, and they mistaken his power.
Yes.
You know, when they understand his power and begin to understand his power and understand that Christ died for us, amen, glory to God, then they become brethren.
Yes, they do.
When they believe in him and believe in his word.
Yes.
So I hope that this sermon, it touched a lot of you. It inspired a lot of you. And it influenced you to go out and be intercessors. Because you are commanded to be an intercessor. When you look at that second commandment,
yes.
Love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor.
Like you love yourself.
Like you love yourself.
You know, you're going to pray for them.
Yes, you're going to pray.
You know, cut out the physical.
Cut out.
I mean, you can do it if God speaks to you to do it at that moment, but God wants us in prayer.
Yes, he do.
He wants us talking to him because, you know, the only way to intercess is to go to God.
Yes.
You know, I look at that as a basketball game. Not saying it's a game, but it's serious.
No.
But if you look at Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen or Shaq and Kobe now Shaq and LeBron,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
when Shaq throw that ball to the goal and LeBron jumps up and he slams it, wham!
Ooh, yes.
An assist. When you intercess, that's the way you need to look at it, as you're helping that person make that point.
Yes.
Helping that person get to where they're trying to go. But even though that LeBron is being blessed with the point, Shaq is still on the same team, and they won.
Yes.
That game.
Yes.
So when you help that person, just because they're blessed and they're happy, doesn't mean God ain't going to bless you, because God is going to take care of you. You are a team. You are part of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And we all should build up in unity like the word tells us.
Yes, it does.
And we all to be one happy Christian body.
Yes. Body of Christ.
So just remember that. So, Father, in heaven, I thank you.
Thank you.
I thank you for these words. I thank you for these scriptures. Lord God, I thank you for the ones that came to listen to this sermon, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord God, like I said, and I ask, bless the listeners and the doers of this word, Lord God.
Lord. Yes.
And Lord God, I thank you. All praises to you. All glory praises to you, God,
glory.
For giving this to me,
yes.
For using me to give this to others, so I can show my love for my neighbors, Lord God, and my brother and my enemies, Lord God. Lord God, I ask that this word sticks to them,
yes,
and always be forevermore,
uh-huh.
And they stay in your word, Lord God.
Yes.
And I ask all this in your Son,
your Son.
Jesus Christ's name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.